Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
You're listening to Achtung Norwalk, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Hello dear listeners, welcome one and all. Welcome to Achtung Norwalk, number one Millwall podcast, coming to you tonight in the wake of last night's one-all draw. Hard fought one-all draw? Was it a relinquishment one-all draw? What flavour of one-all draw do you favour, dear listeners? I think probably a bit of everything. Really, in a packed programme tonight, we're going to be talking to our Northern correspondent very shortly, John Shipman, about last night's away point on the road. And also we're going to have the voice notes. A big thank you to everyone who sent those in to me. So without further ado, I just thought we'd cover the team lineup before we speak to John. Last night's team lineup, including the much called for Idemo Emarku in the first half, who probably didn't really do himself justice in fairness to the boy. But anyway, last night's lineup, Sarkic in goal, across the back line, the back four, Danny Mack, Jake Cooper, Jeff Tanganga and Ryan Leonard. In front of them, the defensive twosome of Billy Mitch and George Saville. Then in front of Billy and George, we have George Honeyman, we have Zian Fleming, and Idemo Emarku, and then strangely, bizarrely, some will say, playing up front in the first half at least, was Ryan Longman. Needs must when the devil drives, dear listeners. We have an injury crisis that would rival battlefield conditions really at the moment, with Tom Bradshaw now out for 6 weeks, I read, just before starting recording tonight's show. Probably the end of the season for Tom Bradshaw, possibly the end of his Mill career, which is a shame, because I think he's been a really honest, strong servant for us. But there we are, that was a starting 11. Coming in at half-time was, of course, the crucial substitution of Michael Obafemi, but more on that later when we speak to John. For me, a point that may prove to be invaluable. It's a very, very tight pack at the bottom of the Championship, and every point that we are, extracting like gruel for Oliver Twist, it's you might not be enjoying it, but it's keeping you alive, dear listeners. And that's probably the only way we're going to be able to look at it. I'm anticipating ahead of tonight's voicemail selection that's going to be a consistent opinion. There's certainly an opinion I'm reading online, mixed with some strange yearnings for the fine dining era of Joe Edwards, but anyway, certainly the football anyway. But let's begin today's show with a conversation I've recorded just a little bit earlier on with John Shipman. Take it away, John.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Huge welcome on the show now to our Northern correspondent, the original and greatest. It's John Shipman. Welcome to the show, John.
Thanks very much, Nick. I'm going to struggle to live up to that billing, but appreciate it nonetheless.
I'm trying to give last night's game a bit of pizzazz, mate. That was a tough watch on stream. You were there at the stadium. I suppose needs must, as I said the other day, needs must when the devil drives. But the football at the moment is a sea change from what we were starting to enjoy under Joe Edwards. Didn't work out, but this is real relegation battle stuff now, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got to be honest, I couldn't give a monkey's if the football's any good or not, as long as we stay up. I don't want to fall into the League One cesspit for what might be a number of years. We're in quite a precarious position. If we pick up points here, there and everywhere, then I'm all for it. it's a long time since I've gone to football to be entertained, Nick. So I'm doing another few months of it if it means you stay in the Championship.
Yeah, it's interesting online, isn't the reaction. I mean, I don't think there's a Millwall fan alive, John, that will say at the moment that the football is, you know, anything other than industrial or agricultural. I think I saw it described as earlier on. But in fairness to Neil Harris, who's been brought back to do a job, and he is doing that job. This is now three games unbeaten, one all draw at Blackburn last night. The squad available to Neil is depleted, to say the least. I mean, you know, any time we're starting Ryan Longman as a centre forward, you know that you're in deep injury problems, and he doesn't have much of a hand of cards to play with. But I think he's doing magnificently at the moment, given what he's got.
Yeah, I think he is doing magnificently. We're very well organised and structured. As much as we didn't have the right players to play the Joe Edwards way, we don't have the right players either to play the Neil Harris way. You know, he likes 4-4-2. He likes big man, little man up front. So a Morrison and a Gregory and a couple of wingers getting the ball across. We don't have the players to do that. We haven't got an out ball. You know, we've got a big lad up front that we can look the ball stick to. So it's very much we are where we are. And we looked solid yesterday. We didn't give Blackburn a lot of chances. I mean, they're no good either, but we didn't give them a lot of chances. Well, I say that, of course, we absolutely gave them the best
gifted
chance,
one.
But
yeah, I mean, I was taking a few notes because I was going to do this with John today, listeners, and the first half, largely, I mean, we looked a little bit nervous in defence at times, John. I thought that was, you know, that's probably the only standout point. But, I mean, there's frankly no real in-front-of-goal chances for Blackburn last night.
No panics or alarms, I didn't think. I thought, and no. Tanganga's looked a different player for me the last three games. He looked, you know, when he first came in, he looked short of confidence or fitness, maybe. Last three games, he's looked solid and, you know, you see him up for the high balls and all the rest of it. He looks a much better player now. And I think in turn, that maybe it's that, maybe it's a return to 4-4-2, but or four at the back at least, has made
four at the back. Simple tactics, yeah. John.
I think
Cooper
was looking a lot better for that as well, Nick, because he was decidedly shaky for a few, well, weeks, months, as the case may be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's certainly instilled a bit of fight, a bit of organisation, a bit of structure into the side. And, you know, you're only 2 points clear of the relegation zone now. So if we hadn't had this new manager bounce, these 7 points would be adrift. So
yeah,
long may it continue.
We were looking, you know, destitute under Joe Edwards for whatever reason. We'll maybe come back before I let you go, John, on Joe Edwards. But no, I mean, you're right. I mean, an unbeaten run now, three games on the spin, seven points out of nine. We would have been in dire trouble but for that. So I would say that to the fine diners online complaining about the poor fare that's on offer at the Millwall restaurant now, that it could be a lot worse, that's for sure. I mean, there was only one chance, and I think I stretched it. I think I put half chance on my note, and that was that Fleming opportunity from a corner. It flashed across goal in the 27 minutes and Fleming hit it into the side. But apart from that, we showed no danger going forwards, John. They didn't show anything coming back at us. It was a half of sparse content, really.
It was very sparse. Blackburn are in no great form themselves. They found themselves, from looking clear of it a few weeks ago, they found themselves right in the mix. I think that's the, as much as all the teams around us seem to be winning at the minute, it has closed the gap up to that lower mid-table bit. And now it's anyone from, God knows how many, probably anyone from about 10 teams.
A few, yeah.
So that's, I suppose that's in our favour. It improves the odds a little bit. But yeah, we're not creating a great deal of chances, but equally not conceding them. And I think before the game, you'd have taken a point away at Blackburn. It's only the kind of nature of the goal that we conceded that feels like the
We've got ourselves in front 53. It was a really nicely finished goal, actually. And I've got to take my hat off to Michael Obafemi for working that goal, because he had a slight touch of fortune as it kind of clattered off nicely off the heel of the Blackburn defender, which he still had work to do to put it away inside a box. And we haven't had a striker that's looked really dangerous like that for a while, really, John. So
yeah, I was quite taken with him in the second half. Not that he was all over the shop, but he did well then. And you can see the type of player he was. He's right on the defender's, you know, shoulder. He's always looking for them runs in behind. And I think the more game time he gets, the more minutes he gets, the, you know, hopefully the rest of the team will understand how to find him, and he could weigh in with a few goals between now and the end of the season, which might be a difference.
Well, his efforts were crucial at Southampton. That worked the penalty. That was the winning penalty down there. And last night's finish, I thought, was pretty sharp, given that it was a game of nothing. This, you know, listeners, there was nothing to report back on. So anyone that does create something out of it is a standout for me. So there we are, 1-0, 53 minutes. But then, in typical Mill style, we slapstick comedy defending to gift, and it was a gift, really, the equaliser on 62. Really poor sequence of play. And unfortunately, Danny, who I thought has been doing quite well of late, was probably the final culprit. But there were others in the mix as well in that Keystone Cops defending there. But we're going to concede because we're a squad, John. I don't know if you agree with this, but we're a squad that probably isn't good enough, and we're trying to beat them greater than the sum of the parts at the moment. And you're going to get errors and mistakes, unfortunately, whether you like it or not. And that was one last night.
You are. I'd struggle to criticise Danny too much because he's done well last three, four.
I think he's done very well. Out of position as well.
Yeah, absolutely. On the wrong foot. They were knocking it around in the wrong position in my mind, that particular goal, and it fell to just the wrong player. I think he's the division's top scorer, that Smodic. So anywhere but there would have probably, because they didn't create a lot more besides that, so we'll probably have got us the 3 points. But I think reading the comments from Harris last night, you know, it's not individual mistakes. We succeed as the team, die as a team, sort of thing. That's exactly the attitude you want, rather than kind of hanging individuals out to dry.
No, I agree. And he's playing out of position, Dan. And, you know, you've got to take it out after what he's been doing. I think we have looked a lot more solid in defence. I mean, Brian came on in 73 for Danny McNamara, along with Brooke Norton Cuffey. And we did a good job of seeing the game out, really, John. I mean, at 1-0, we certainly don't want to relinquish any more goals at that stage, which we didn't. No chances, apart from one late shot that was saved, I think, by Sarkic in added time. And that was largely that for the game. Yeah. I mean, it's a valuable point. You know, I suppose it just leaves a sour taste having been ahead and then to give up the lead. That's probably what's added a lot of, you know, sour comment online. But still, as you say, you would have taken it before the game.
Yeah, it's that classic thing, isn't it? You'll take a point beforehand, but when you go in front, you feel like you should be holding on for free. It certainly would have put us in a lot stronger position, but, you know, we're now 2 points clear of the drop zone, even with the games coming up tonight. So better than when we started. And we can't ask so much more than that on a game-by-game basis.
Now, Birmingham Saturday, which is going to be another big, big match. I repeat, listeners, we are playing with a very depleted squad. So it's probably going to be more of the same on Saturday. I don't think we can expect much else than the blood, sweat and tears approach, John, at the moment. But it's, you know, just 10 games to go now. So it's vital that we don't, even if we can't win, that we don't give up points and we take something out of each game as best we can. I think that's going to be the approach that people are just going to have to get used to, because I think survival is crucial in this season especially.
I think Saturday's going to be a particularly interesting one because whereas the last few games with our teams, well, not last night, but certainly Southampton would have been coming on to us, and so that, you know, compact blocks of four will serve you well. But on Saturday, really, we're going to be expected to be on the front foot, I would have thought, because Birmingham will probably view it a little bit like we viewed last night: turn up, get a point, get out again.
If they can do that into us,
happy. So we need to show a little bit of impetus on Saturday, arguably. Try and pick up the three, because that would really do us a favour, beating in a relegation rival.
Absolutely. I thought Billy Mitch, Joel Saville did okay. I mean, opinion varies so much online. It was hard to pick out a man of the match because it was a team effort and it wasn't a brilliant game. So it wasn't really anyone that stood out massively. But I just think the return to the Saville-Mitchell duo won't be the most, you know, it didn't fit into the Joe Ball approach at all. But given that we can't afford to lose at the moment, I can't think of two better players really to, you know, to help quieten that midfield down, John.
Yes, it's unfortunate for Donori. You know, I think he's a quality player for me, and I think he'll be able to step up if we have an injury to either of them, and that may encourage a change. But I think certainly away, I'd struggle to think past Saville and Mitchell. If you ask me to design a team not to lose a game, they'd be straight in there.
Absolutely.
I don't know what you think, Nick, but George Honeyman last few games has really impressed me in a different way. He's always looked like there's a player there, but just not sure what position. But at the minute, he seems to be acting like the leader on the pitch. He's going into tackles. He's throwing his body around and all the rest of it, which you wouldn't necessarily associate with Honeyman. But I think he's been great value in the last few games.
There's a lot of dirty work being done in that midfield. I include George Honeyman, actually, is a good point that you're making, because it wasn't being done before under the Joe Ball, just going back to Joe Edwards. For whatever reason, John, that didn't work out. But I think that the one major difference now is that we're working as a team and we're fighting for every scrap that's available, which wasn't happening under Joe. Talk about that till the cows come home, I suppose. It is a pity. I enjoyed watching, in ever decreasing amounts, the Joe Ball era. I quite liked what he was trying to do, but I don't think the squad were either capable, or did they really believe in it, John? And I think if you don't have the belief part, you're probably going to suffer on the technical front, aren't you?
Yeah, my Edwards thoughts are not really Edwards' faults. I think it was... I think this board sort of sleptwalk into this. The idea you're going to change your style midway through a season, and I don't think they saw a relegation battle coming, because we were at a mid-table spot at that point in time. Hindsight's 20/20, and so we can all sit here and say that, but I didn't. Surely if you're going to change your style, you do it at the end of a season with a summer to get a transfer window in, stick your mark on the team in pre-season friendlies and all the rest of it. It kind of needed a Reddit there at that point for me. But hopefully, in return, the board have acted quite decisively in moving him out and getting someone else in. I don't necessarily disagree with the idea that we need to play a different brand of football. But equally, it sounds odd. You don't go to football to be entertained. If you're winning, you're entertained. If you're not winning, it doesn't matter what you're serving up, you're not going to enjoy it. So as much as everybody, there's a kind of Edwards Ball theory going around the league at the minute, but I don't think it's any coincidence that Luton got out of that division last season, playing a quite industrial side of football. Yeah. I think there's still a place for that, for a team that wants to upset the apple cart. Because if you're trying to play this remarkable football that needs good footballers to play it, it stands to reason that good footballers are going to go to the best clubs with the best money. So you're trying to do the same as them with poorer resources. So you need to find an alternative to get yourself out of there. And if that for us, we'll see what happens, but if that for us is a couple of wingers and a big bloke and a little bloke up front and setting up the side, somewhat defensively, then it's dinosaur football maybe, but if it's effective, who really minds?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. It's going to be interesting. Obviously, we've got a survival campaign to get through, and then the summertime will be an interesting one because, Neil Harris will have, if presuming he does indeed, it's not a done deal yet that we survive in this division, but presuming we do survive, then there's going to be those kinds of questions that do arise at a time when maybe a squad can be blended with other players, some of our players coming out of contract, maybe then something could be blended. But whether Neil Harris is that person, I don't know. The first thing, first, we've got to survive in the division.
Yeah, that's everything at the minute, Nick. That really is everything. And put up with being bored for 90 minutes if it means we're picking up points.
I mean, the contrast, I was just out earlier on one of my mates, and he's a Charlton supporter, and the contrast, the fixtures they're playing, they delighted with a win at Cheltenham last night, That's the level that you're picking up, and you're going to places that middle of nowhere places like that, and trying to get results. And no one wants to fall into League One, that's for sure. John, I want to say a big thing, a big well done to everyone. The 330 plus that went up there to Blackburn midweek. Blackburn is a huge effort. It came over well on TV, so it looked like a pretty sparsely attended game, John. I don't know how it was inside the ground.
Yeah, it was quite sparse. we were sort of out and about before the game and the pub's quite quiet and all the rest of it. I think there's an element of after the Lord Mayor's show. I think they were in a big cup game last week against Newcastle. They're not particularly entertained by John Eustace, who of course would have been one of the candidates for
one of our contenders.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, that's right.
It's difficult to make these managerial decisions, and as we stand today, I'm quite pleased with the one we have made because it, for me, gives us the best chance of staying up.
Yeah, I mean, people were talking about, you know, a Warnock-style appointment, and in a Millwall way, bringing Neil Harris back to survive, which with the attendant football that we're going to get, is a Warnock-style appointment, really, because I can't think of many other people that could come in and lift the club. I mean, you made a good point earlier on about entertainment versus winning. It felt so refreshing to leave the Den on Saturday, John, with 3 points and rocking all over the world playing. You know, I'm not really that fussed walking back to the car afterwards, whether we play Joe Ball or Neil Ball or any other kind of ball. We just want the win, really, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got an app on my phone, Nick, that my son's installed that tells me which games I've been to and how many miles I've covered and the rest. So as a sort of northern outlier, I get down to the Den for every Saturday home game that we can possibly do. So I've done about 13, 14 games this season, travelled about 5,000 miles for the privilege. And it was quite stark looking at the stats that I've seen 2 draws and 10 defeats. So I would love to come away by Hook or by Crook from Birmingham on Saturday with 3 points, just to see a win, just to win status quo.
Also, you don't then question your sanity for doing this.
Absolutely.
Not so much, anyway. Brilliant stuff. Big thank you, John Shipman. Thanks for joining us, mate. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Nick.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Huge thank you, John, for joining me earlier on today to discuss last night's 1-1 draw. Do you want to become part of the Achtung Millwall gang, listeners? Do you want to join? Do you want to become maybe a voicemail contributor or maybe come on the show, like John just did, and do a post-match review? You'd be more than welcome. Hit me up, as the kids say, on Twitter. You can send me a direct message. You can actually send me a voice note on Twitter if you want to. Just send your post-match thoughts, musings, hilarities after the game. You can send it by voice note on Twitter. Or if you give me a shout on there, we can exchange mobile numbers. And you can send a voicemail, you know, to your taste. Everything within the law, I'm more than happy to accept. Millwall-related, anyway. If you want to come on as a post-match reviewer, do give me a shout. More than happy to add more names and voices to the show. It's always really good to get a wide range of views and opinions after the game. So, you know, give me a shout. It'd be lovely to hear from more Millwall fans and get them on the show. So you'd be more than welcome. Any road, on to the voice notes, listeners. Let's start now with a man who is acquiring a cult following. He was at Coventry. He was at Blackburn. He's Bobby T. Let's have a listen to Bobby T.
Yeah, Nick Hart, Bobby T with Horton here, half time. It's all Blackburn, mate. It's, we are Millwall. It's all Blackburn. Longman and Amaku are both shit. Just both. Amaku, anyway, half time, 0-0, all Blackburn. Bobby T out. Yeah, so Nick Hart, Bobby T, half time analysis. Amaku supposed to be up front, but he's playing right midfield. And then Longman ain't got a clue. So, Obafemi is going to be on second half. Obafemi is going to be on. Let's pray, Nick Hart and the Millwall Lionesses. There you go. Look, I think the Blackburn coffee's got to me. Lions. Let's hope for a 1-0. I'll take a 0-0. I mean, one more thing on the half time analysis, Nick Hart and all the Lions fans. 300 and bam, odd turned up. And it's all Blackburn. Backs to the wall. I mean, we're just like scared to play. It's all Blackburn. All Blackburn. It's been a very tough, scary start. Anyway, over and beyond, I'll take a point. Bobby T, bye for now. Good evening, Nick Hart. Sorry it's late, but if you want to get the reaction of the mighty Lions, just got back to Baker Street, London. 5-hour journey, 500-mile trip. Was it worth it? We got a point, a battling point. We put a shift in, as Harris said. But for me, happy and sad, because basically 2 points dropped, winning 1-0. I don't know what Danny Mac was doing, mate. I mean, Obafemi, yeah, he come on, scored the goal, should have got a second. He was our best player. The rest of the players, yeah, they put a good shift in, but I'm sorry. I mean, what Leonard Sav losing the ball, I don't know, onto Birmingham, just got home. Sorry, it's late, Nick Hart. Bobby here, Bobby T, signing off in Baker Street. 1-1, going on to Birmingham. No one likes us. Good night from Bobby T in Baker Street.
Well done, Bobby. I take my hat off to everyone that went up there, yourself included, mate. Long night and a difficult game. It's difficult to watch from the comfort and warmth of my front room, let alone travelling up 500 miles, as Bob's just said there. Imarco, disappointing first half for Idem. I was really, really looking for something from him. Maybe a little bit overwhelmed. He's only a young boy. But these are the big situations where big-time players come through. So it was a difficult first half. I'm sure we're going to see him again at some point. Maybe coming off the bench. Maybe, you know, as a kind of a game changer. Although that was Obafemi's role last night, coming on at half-time in place of him, Marco. Longman isn't the centre-forward. And I mean, I don't think anyone's going to be, I don't think that's radical opinion. But brilliant stuff. Thank you, Bobby. I appreciate that one, mate. Let's go now with Bill Slack. Let's have Bill next.
Hello, Nick. Bill Slack ringing in after the Blackburn performance. I can't quite believe what I'm reading online from some people regarding our performances and the quality of football at the minute. It just defies any kind of belief. You have to put our performances in the context of what's gone on before this season. We've got a group of blokes there who are absolutely refusing to be fucking relegated and are putting absolutely everything on the line to make sure that we've got Championship football. Is it pretty? No. Is it a beautiful game? No, of course it ain't. But at the moment, I could not give a fuck. Do I want to watch that football in 24, 25? No, none of us do. But we are in the shit and we need to get results and points on the board. And it was ugly and it was horrible and there was no quality last night. But if it weren't for Danny Mac's 50p football boot, we'd have come away from there with 3 points from Blackburn. And we've still come away with a point and we've increased the gap between us and that relegation zone by a point. That's 7 points out of 9. In terms of the selections, I've seen criticism of Billy Mitch and Saville. You do not play the way we've played for the last 3 games, getting 7 points out of 3 really tough games, without that midfield duo covering fucking miles and miles and miles and working their bollocks off. You know, I've seen criticism about leaving quality on the bench. Dinour does not do that defensive work like Saville and Mitchell does. And he'll have a place in the squad at some point when Harris has a pre-season or whoever's involved next year. He'll have a pivotal place in our squad, I'm sure of it. Norton Cuffey is fucking fantastic going forward, but absolutely fucking appalling at defending, which is why we've got Leonard and Danny at left and right back. Now, Danny Mack is the least modern fullback probably in this league, but that's why we're getting 7 out of 9 points, because Harris has said to Danny, you're a fucking fullback. Just defend like one. Don't worry about the fucking progression and the overlap and crossing the ball and all the rest of it. You just fucking defend your goal. He's simplified everything. He's getting them straight back into shape when we haven't got the ball. We are doing what is necessary. And you know, if we have exactly the same performance on Saturday and the quality is shit and we're not fucking retaining the ball and we're not progressing this, that and the other, if we come out of the Den on Saturday having scraped 1-0, 3 points, I will be absolutely overjoyed. I cannot understand why people are moaning about Harris. We just, it's working. You know, I posted halfway through the first half that I didn't think it was sustainable in terms of the amount of pressure that we soak up. At some point, you have to concede if there's 70% possession. But that team's working hard enough to win us points. And I think it was a great point. You know, context of what happened in previous seasons, this season, we would have lost the last three games and we would be adrift. And we need to get behind them. And we need, sometimes we need to watch from behind the sofa because it ain't fucking great. Matty will kick it out and you know, it'll be fucking lumped up here. And, you know, we'll have weird clearances like we had Danny Mack in the second half where he just kicked it across the pitch out of play. But it's safety. Protect what you got. Protect your goal. Don't get fucking relegated. And at the moment, it's working. And there, I think there are more teams in this division worried about relegation than we are at the minute. And from where we were, I'll take that. Get behind them. They're giving everything for us. Come on, you Lions. Well done, boys.
I can't disagree with a word you've said there, Bill. 100%, mate. I read the same stuff online. I don't get it. I don't, you know, there's a... We saw some brilliant football with Joe Edwards, and you know, I'm man enough to say that it did not work out. Although I was really, really wanting it to work. I mean, I banged on enough. I'm not going to go on about the half an hour of brilliance against Middlesbrough and so on and so forth. You've heard it all before, listeners. But it was getting less and less, and for whatever reason, the squad didn't buy the Joe formula. Right, wrong time to be maybe trying that. All these things are real. But as it is at the moment, as Bill's just said, and he's bang on, we're in a relegation fight, and we've got to scrap for every single piece of you know, points and turf and everything. We've got to fight for every inch that we're gonna try and get out of this season, because other teams are going to be doing it. It's a very, very tight you know, bottom half of the table now, and I make you right, mate. I mean, 1-0 on Saturday would do me lovely jubbly. I don't really care if it's another spectacle like, you know, Blackburn away was last night. I do feel for Danny Mack. Bill's making a good point about Danny Mack, because he's being played out of position, and the simplification, which is a good way to put it, I think, of the tactics. You're asking players to not rise beyond themselves. I think that was the essential difference with Joe Ball and Neil Harris Ball. You know, the instructions are simple. You're asking players to do what they can do, what they're used to. Whereas Joe, I think, was trying to get them to rise beyond themselves in some mystical kind of way, you know, to play Pep football. And it didn't really work out. Unfortunately, it might work out with better, younger, more malleable youngsters coming into the side. But that's not what we've got right now. We've got a squad of old sweats that have been there, done it, bought the T-shirt, and regrettably, it's human nature, and I don't agree with it, but we all know it. If the manager telling you what to do hasn't done it themselves, and Joe Edwards hadn't played professional football, he's worked with all the best that, you know, Chelsea, one of these mega brands now in world football. The best that Chelsea can provide, then Everton, same, England. But he's not played. He's not been there in League One. He's not scrapped up against some horrible, you know, Preston player at on a Tuesday night in the pissing rain, you know. So are you going to listen? And I don't think that really, that was probably the root of it, in my opinion. I've got no evidence to support that. It's just intuition. So, yeah, I mean, I read the same internet comment as you do, Bill, and I'm with you. So great stuff there from Bill, Bill Slack. Let's have a listen now to Matt Webb.
Morning, Nick. Matt Webb here. Calling in after last night's game against Blackburn. What do we make of that? On paper, a very good draw at Ewood Park. Never a good place for Millwall to go and try and win, because history tells us we don't have much of a decent record. Subsequently, it's a place where we hardly get any shots, really, to be fair. So on paper, you can't argue with that draw. And it was definitely not a spectacle to watch, that's for certain. just a few thoughts about it, though. I was a bit weird. I mean, the setup was on paper, again, looking at the team lineup, strong, I felt. Mackey replacing Obafemi, you know, you still want to nurture him to full fitness and to match sharpness, and Longman coming in for Watmore. But it was a bit weird seeing Longman start up top and then Amaku on the right wing. And I said to like a group chat that I'm in, and also to my lad, I said, well, we've got a winger playing up front and a striker playing on the wing. Eventually, after 20 minutes, it was changed, and he put Amaku up top. Now, as I said, Amaku needs to get back to match sharpness, and giving him 45 minutes was good. I was disappointed because I thought there was a lot of misplaced passes from him, but he's getting there. He's got to get there. It's time. Time is of the essence, and the more match minutes he plays, the better. Needs to get a bit of muscle up top. I think they've got a 37-year-old centre-half in McFadden, and I was thinking, well, stick him on him and see what he can do. And to be fair, didn't get much. And obviously the first half was a bit of a snooze fest, if I was honest with you, mate. We knew that Blackburn being a home team on a Tuesday night up in Lancashire, they'd be sort of like the most dominant team in the game, and they were, but weren't clinical. They weren't finishing any chances, and nothing to my note that Sarkic had to make any point, like key saves, really. He done the basic goalkeeping duties, which is good to see. And, you know, again, I like him. I think he's good and he will get better. But, yeah, no, that first half was definitely one to forget. That's for certain. And I thought at half-time, this reminds me of a couple of seasons back where we went up there on a Tuesday night and we didn't actually have a shot. And I thought it would be that sort of kind of game again. But second half, he rang the changes, brought Obafemi on. Now, I thought I had a sneaky feeling that Obafemi might have a better game today because of his Burnley connections. And obviously, Blackburn and Burnley are not exactly neighbours in a nice way. A bit like us and, well, any other London club, really. So I knew he would be up for it. And lo and behold, he took his goal really well, strong, and hit that with some venom past the goalkeeper. So at 1-0 up, I thought, we'll have this. We'll win this game easily because, again, Blackburn weren't threatening. That Smodic, who scored 18 goals or something like that, Tanganga had him all day long. And funnily enough, it was with Tanganga being down, hurt, that he scores the equaliser. And that's not because he's worked his way past him to score, it's a case of we gifted him that goal with absolute sloppy defending. There's a lot of fingers there. Well, there's a couple of fingers really you should point out on that one. One, when your player's down injured, your teammate, in this case Sabo, had the ball, kicked the sodding thing out. get him some treatment so he's ready, fresh. But no, we wanted to carry on playing. And then I think it was Danny Mack, wasn't it, who strayed a pass onto Smodics and gifted him the shot. You can't give players like that any opportunities to basically score or give the ball any time, give him space. Don't. So at 1-1, you know, I thought, well, I just have to hold out. But really and truthfully, they provided nothing. And we provided very little ourselves. So really, truthfully, hindsight, 1-1 draw was the fairest result. Would I have taken a draw half at the beginning of the game? Absolutely. Would I have taken a draw at half-time? Absolutely. Would I have taken a draw when we was 1-0 up? No. But that's how football goes. I was really impressed with Billy Mitchell last night. I thought he was man of the match. He was everywhere last night. And, you know, I was really pleased to see that not only was he not passing backwards or sideways, he was actually finding that forward pass as well, which is really pleasing. And he was getting stuck in. So Billy Mitchell last night was my man of the match. As I said, we got another point on the road. We got another point on the board. We've hit that 40-point mark. That's probably the first milestone, really, to get to is 40 points. We're now 2 points off the relegation zone. But what you got to realise is it's not just a four-team race for the relegation spot. It's now probably a 13-team race. We've now, not the fact that we've got results and QPR have got results, Sheffield have picked up results, it's the fact that we're sucking in other teams now into this mix. And looking at our last remaining 11 games, we've got some of those teams to come to the Den, starting on Saturday against Birmingham. We've also got Plymouth coming to the Den. We've also got Huddersfield. We've got to go to Huddersfield. We've also got to go to Rotherham. I think, and also Cardiff, which hopefully by then will be mid-table and do nothing. But then Swansea. So, you know, we've got this little run, we've got a fantastic chance now of staying up. And if we can continue it on Saturday against Birmingham, it won't be easy. They rested their so-called top players last night and managed to get a draw at Hull. So they'll be fighting to get out of this little mini league, as we call it, to make sure they're safe. But it won't be easy, but it will still be an opportunity with the momentum that we've got to really get another 3 points on the board. I think we are definitely going to need to get 50 points, 100%. It's going to be one of those seasons where you're going to have to get as many points as you can just to be safe. And then we'll worry about, once we get there, worry about what happens in the summer. Not even thinking about that. All I'm thinking about now is to get the next game out of the way, get 3 points on the board, and breathe a sigh of relief, I think. Most people are. Well done to the 300 plus that went there last night. You know, it's a long journey. Done that before, definitely on the coach. So well done to them. And yep, I will see you on Saturday. Come on, you Lions.
Terrific stuff, Matt. Big thank you, mate, for that. Yeah, I'd forgotten Tanganga was down injured, wasn't he, before the slapstick defending. And there's probably not much point in looking backwards at it, because it's just one of those hairy moments that you get from time to time at this level of football. But yeah, we did gift that equaliser. It was a real gutty blow. But overall, I thought Tanganga played well, actually. I thought the whole defence improved. It started off a bit nervy, but we improved, and I'm really liking the look of Jeff Tanganga. He flattened one bloke, and did he escape? No, he got a yellow card, I think, after the event. But to maintain his discipline after that, and that was quite early in the first half, he actually wiped a bloke out. So, yeah, good player, really good player. Proper Millwall-style player, actually. He's skillful with it. Billy, yeah. I thought Billy and Saville played well in their dirty role that they're having to do. This is water carrying, isn't it? This is killing off the opposition, squelching situations. And it's interesting when you read comments online, it's one or two people are picking them up for wayward passing or lack of pass accuracy, whatever the statistic is. And I didn't really see that. I thought that they are there to do that dirty job, you know, the killing the game off side of things. And then we're going to need it again Saturday. I make you right, Matt. Saturday's going to be a huge game. I'm hoping for a big atmosphere again like we had last week, because we're going to need it again against Birmingham on Saturday. And yeah, 50 points, 3 wins and a draw. That's probably where safety and salvation will lie. So we could do a massive, massive step in that direction by getting points out of Birmingham this coming Saturday at the Den. Okay, let's move along. Let's have a listen now to Jim Hackett.
Hi, Nick. Jim Hackett. Just game just finished. And funny enough, I watched it on a Blackburn feed. And up until their goal, their commentators were saying that they were offering very little. They couldn't see them getting through us because we were so rigid, so disciplined. Then all of a sudden, obviously, we gave the goal away. But I might be being a bit harsh there because it was just how Millwall is. But up until that point, I thought the back four, the midfield, everybody played a really good part in the game. And we were never under any sort of threat from Blackburn. As much as they had the ball and kept it around the middle of the park, they didn't cause us any problems at all. I thought the whole back four played excellently. And it was just such a shame that Danny gave that ball away when he really didn't need to make that pass at all. Why didn't he just lift his head and look to go forward rather than bloody play a pass that even though it was only a 10-yard pass, it was a typical Millwall goal to give away, wasn't it? Because we played well. Obafemi, I made up for him getting a goal because he's had to do a lot of work without looking threatening at all. And the one time he probably didn't look as threatening when he first collected the ball, but then the finish was fantastic. So really happy with him. I thought the first half, Amaku looked a little bit out of his depth again. I think he's not quite the centre forward we're looking for there, but at the same time, you know, all he could do was what he did. And, you know, Obafemi came on. I think he gave us a little spring and just by getting the goal, justified the change. And it's such a shame. I feel like we've lost 2 points there. We gifted Blackburn that. And it feels a bit like a loss, but in reality, it's a game where we'd have took the point beforehand. So I don't know where to go with this, where I feel a little bit flat because of the result and because of the performance. But overall, it's not a bad result, and we'd have took it before the game. So, I don't know. On to Saturday, Birmingham, big result. They got a game, or they got a result tonight, 1-1. So, for both of us, it's a big game. But let's hope the Bomber Harris life continues to be charmed and we get another great result on Saturday. So, come on, you Lions.
I think it was Napoleon, listeners, who asked if when he got a new general, asked if he was lucky. He only wanted lucky generals, though his luck ran out at Battle of Waterloo, so maybe that wasn't always such a good tactic to have. But I do feel that Neil Harris is a lucky manager at the moment. He's come in, the squad on the floor, and somehow, with very little in the way of resources, he's turning things around. Big thank you there to Jim for that message. I also just want to give a shout out to Michael Obafemi. I'll make you right there, Jim. A quality player, actually. Struggling to get his full match fitness going. We've not seen a full 90 minutes for him. Maybe we won't. I don't know. But the tight space, he got one little break where the ball came off the heel of the Blackburn defenders. I think I said against, we were speaking with John earlier on in the show. But that fortune came his way, and then he somehow worked space to get a shot on target and kind of bamboozled the goalkeeper slightly. So it was a brilliant, brilliant finish, and it really came out of the blue because there was nothing going on at either end until that moment. I'm going to draw a discreet veil over the Blackburn equaliser for, you know, indiscretion's sake. Big thank you to Jim. We're going to be moving along. Let's go have a listen to Matt Richards, and then we'll go on to Rob Abbott straight afterwards.
Hello, Nick. Matt Richards here. Well, you know, it's a point, so that's good. I think if anyone had said that we'd get 7 from the last 3 games, then anyone would have taken that. So happy with that. It's so tight down the bottom. It's unbelievable just looking at the table. Up to, I think, 12th. I think there's 6 points between 23rd place up to 12th. Incredible, really. We've got to take advantage, or take the most of any chances, any games we've got, really. We've got, you know, against the teams that we can beat. You know, tonight I thought, even though I'm content with a point, you know, Blackburn were awful. You know, they're in a poor run of games. Confidence is shot. They barely look like scoring. You know, so it's gutting that we get 1-0 up and we couldn't hold on. But, say, point, okay. But, you know, this is what makes it even more important for Saturday's game against Birmingham. Because they're in the same boat as Blackburn, really. Poor run of form. Can't remember the last time they won. They might have won 1 in 6 or 5 or something like that. So, you know, this is where we've really got to get into them, but not just get into them with fight and battle, because that's got to be there anyway, every single game. But I think we've just got to be a bit braver. I think we've got to be a bit braver of our selection and be a bit more creative. Yeah, I know we're not blessed with loads of options. You know, I'm probably right to wrap Obafemi and Cotton Wall a bit, because he's the only forward we've got. Only did well, obviously, tonight. That doing the power good. But, you know, it's just, I would rather have Casper in the middle, Casper Denord, just because I think he just gives us a bit more momentum. He's faster on the ball. He plays it one touch. And he's a bit more, you know, a bit more penetrative with his passing as well. And I think that's, we're just kind of lacking a bit. And he's confident. He is confident on the ball. Whereas the likes of Billy will kind of turn back in and play it back or sideways. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm not having to dig at him because he grafted tonight and he's probably our best player. But likes of him and Sav, I think Casper just gives us that different edge of creativity. And then also, I think I'll probably play Brooke, Norton Cuffey as well, just to kind of give us that bit more flair, because I think that's what we need. You know, I mean, we're barely keeping possession. I mean, scraping around for like nearly 30% of possession, which is okay if we're winning. But we're hardly creating any chances at all. We have 7 shots on target in the last 3 games. You know, it's okay, 2 of those games were away, so it's not too bad, but we can't be like that on Saturday. We need to go at Birmingham. We need to create chances, because their confidence will be shot, and we need to take advantage of that. Get a couple of goals up, and 3 points is vital. Really vital for Saturday. So, yeah, so there's my thoughts. Happy with a point, but let's be a bit braver, eh? Let's be a bit braver at home. Come on, you lines.
Morning, Nick. Rob Abbott here. Hope all is well. So, yeah, that was a good point last night, especially if we can get 3 points at home on Saturday against Birmingham. As for the game, wow, that first half, that was boring. Blackburn were absolutely dire, and I know a lot of people were saying that we were dire, but look, we sat deep, we were hard to beat, and we offered Blackburn absolutely nothing. And then the only real chance in the first half was when Zion hit the outside of the post, but yeah, I think on the XG that would have been a very low percentage chance of scoring. Very strange how Harris set up with Longman as centre forward and Idemo out in right midfield. Both of them sort of looked lost and didn't help the cause of us playing direct, because neither could keep control of the ball. Fair play though to Harris after about 20-25 minutes when he moved Longman to right midfield. We did look a bit brighter going forward, but I thought defensively, albeit it was so boring to watch, we were brilliant in the first half. And then looking at a change at half-time, that's great to see, and Obafemi showed what a very good championship centre-forward he is, and he helped us big time, running the channels, holding the ball up, bringing others into play, and delighted he scored his first goal for us. And you can understand how he didn't actually start the game, because he's still trying to work up his match fitness, and hopefully on Saturday we can get at least 70 minutes out of him leading the line. And then, yeah, 1-0 up, I was thinking, wow, 3 points, 9 from 9. We're on the road here, like Blackburn are offering nothing. To be fair to them, they bought on, I think it's an Icelandic guy, Scandinavian forward. He sort of changed the game in a way, but put the emphasis more with Blackburn, had us on the back foot. But again, that's a horrendous error, isn't it? Well, a horrendous couple of errors. Savile initially, then Tanganga's gone for the tackle, gone down injured. And then I'm not too sure why Leonard or McNamara just didn't put the ball out of play, messing around. And look, you can't give Schmodix a chance like that. He's a deadly finisher. He's a top scorer in the championship. But even after the goal went in a few weeks ago under Edwards, I think we would have collapsed and lost that game. But look, we stood tall and again, defended quite well. And we saw that game out for a deserved point, in my opinion. And like I said at the very start, that's a very good point, especially if we can take 3 on Saturday at home against Birmingham. I'm sure Blackburn fans aren't very happy because, yeah, the position of the league table, they need to be playing more in the front foot. They needed 3 points more than us last night. But overall, can't complain. 7 points from 9. And looking forward to Saturday. Take it easy. Just like to add, Nick, a few special mentions to some of the players. Sarkic, again, is looking like the £1 million plus goalkeeper that we signed. And hopefully he stays injury free. He's commanding his box a little bit more. Tanganga was brilliant last night. And then it gets a lot of stick, but I thought Billy Mitchell was very good last night and outplayed Saville. I don't think Saville had his best game. And Honeyman was a busybody everywhere, getting stuck in, etc. So a few mentions there.
Thanks, Rob, and thanks, Matt. Before that, yeah, that makes you right, Rob, about Sarkic improving. He didn't have much to do last night, did he? But there was one smart save, I think it was 2 minutes into the added time, where, you know, once upon a time, not that long ago, as you rightly said, that we would have collapsed or conceded a really sloppy late goal to lose it. He got damn well for that. I think he's gaining confidence and seeming to enjoy the den atmosphere, reading some of the articles on the Millwall papers, you know. Matt, yeah, I think you're right. I think we've got to go forwards a bit on Saturday. I would have loved last night for the ball to have stuck further forwards a little bit just to give the defence some recuperation time. It was coming back at us very, very quickly and we were just punting it out almost in the style of a non-league side that's advanced into the FA Cup late rounds. Just anywhere will do. I don't know whether Casper Danor will start. Can't believe that Neil Harris will make a change to that Savile and Mitchell, twosome. But someone like Casper will give you passing ability. What he won't, I suppose, do is the kind of killing role that we've discussed a few times in this show and others previously. But it's going to be an interesting game, huge game Saturday, massive, massive game. I really hope the atmosphere matches up some of the recent home games. I can't believe it won't do, because Birmingham normally bring a fair crowd down, and there's always an edge with Birmingham, isn't there? So let's hope for a big, big den atmosphere. Listeners, we've reached the end of today's show. I'm going to play you out now with new voice, Steve Morton. I don't think we've had Steve on before. If we have, forgive me, Steve. And then we'll finish up with Chicago Joe. Who else do you want to finish up with than Chicago Joe? I want to say a big thank you to everyone for contributing to today's show. Really appreciate it. I love doing these shows. I love doing the reactions to the various messages that are being left. If you want to take part in these shows, like I've said, hit me up on Twitter, message me, or you can email me, achtungmillwall@gmail.com. Let's do a swapsy of mobile numbers. And then you can send in your voice note contributions, or if you want, come on the show as a post-match reviewer. It'd be nice to get some more voices on the show. So a big thank you to everybody that's put their bit into tonight's show. So we're going to finish up now with Steve Morton, and then we'll end the show with Chicago Joe. Big thank you for listening, dear listeners. Fingers crossed for Saturday. Till then, arrivederci, Millwall. Bye for now.
Hi, Nick. Hope you're well. Just thought I'd give you my thoughts on the recent game at Blackburn. Being based up here in Bolton, it was nice and easy for me to pop along to the game. Got to say, despite our recent upturn in results, I was still a bit nervous. Blackburn have been a bit of a thorn in our side, as we all know, the last couple of years, if not longer. So I went there thinking a point will be a decent point, to be fair. Started the game, bloody terrible, weren't we? Jesus Christ, can't string two passes together, can't retain the ball. Some of the passing was beyond belief, and I think there were tired legs because some of the woeful short passes that were missing the spot were unreal, and actually came back to bite us in the arse in the end with the goal coming from exactly that, first Saville, and then an unbelievably poor ball from Danny, giving them that one chance to score. I genuinely didn't think they'd score other than that, and we could have got a very nice, very welcome 3 points. Yeah, so look, a point I think was decent when all said and done, but I do think it was too missed and puts a bit more pressure, if there wasn't already enough, on Saturday's game with Birmingham. We need to win that, really, certainly not lose a game, but hopefully keep this momentum going. I think my only criticism of the team right now is, one, what I've already said, the passing and the retention of the ball, but even our ability to attack or formulate attacks, there doesn't seem any sort of plan. It just seems to be hoof it up and hope for the best rather than, you know, finding some channels, laying the ball in behind rather than trying to lump it forward, you know, slide it through. To be fair to him, Amako a couple of times had a made that space but didn't get the ball to him, although he struggled, to be fair. But listen, we go again. I'd have bit your hand off for 7 points since I spoke to you last, so in 3 games. So well done, everyone. Let's keep it going. Keep up the good work, Nick, and speak to you soon with more good news, hopefully.
Joe from Chicago. I guess a point on the road is always a good thing, but man, that stinks when it's 2 points lost because of a stupid mistake in the back between everybody. Nobody's really without blame. I mean, Sarkic, but they should have pumped. Either way, good for Obafemi. I don't understand Amaku coming off at halftime. Would have liked to see Longman come off. I'd like to see Amaku get a consistent role. Just giving him 45 minutes and saying, figure something out, won't work. It's a great way to stunt the 20-year-old's growth. Anyways, point on the road. So point on the road. Point at Blackburn. I'll take it. The championship is insane this year, so any point's a good point. Cheers. Hope you all are well.
Achtung, Millwall.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.